This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Hello, world! What's up, guys? This is Dave Van Auken once again on the Fight Bananas Podcast. How's everyone doing out there? A couple quick shout-outs right now, EndStillNutrition.com. Thank you so much. They are doing terrific. It's a hard time for everyone, and they keep on continuing to support the Fight Bananas Podcast. So much love for Still Nutrition. Check them out at EndStillNutrition.com. And also our friends at WarhammerFightWear.com. Check them out, guys. They have some of the best gear in all of MMA. They have this dry fit tee that I wear on the daily. Guys, WarhammerFightWear.com. Let's go. Absolutely bananas. All right, guys, here we go. Fight Bananas back at it again. What an unbelievable week for UFC. We got the fight night coming up. We have another UFC on Saturday night, and 249 was epic. Definitely got a cool guy calling in. Ben Stark, my man, how are you doing?
Doing all right, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, brother. First of all, how's everything going with you? I love the videos that you put up. Oh, my goodness, they're great. And, of course, the one, I think it was over the weekend, a little bit of an elbow drop, a little rock, a little Macho Man over the top. So, big fan, brother. Really love what you're doing.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So, yeah, tell the world, tell the Fight Bananas community, you know, about the gym and you know, like a little bit about yourself.
All right, my name is Ben Stark. I'm one of the first, if not early second generation guys through ATT. From what I'm told back in the day, I was the ninth guy on American Top Team's fight team.
God, that's crazy.
I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what I was told at the time.
Ben, they have
so I've been around a while.
Oh, dude, I think they got nine fighters fighting this damn week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
Things
Huge.
Have changed dramatically. Like, when I joined, Top Team was 750 square feet.
Oh, my goodness. You know? That's the bathroom.
Now, yeah, man. Might even be smaller.
It might. So, you know, what have you been doing the last, you know, 24 months, 36 months?
The last couple of years, I've just been staying up in Palm Beach. I run American Top Team, Palm Beach Gardens. When I moved back from Thailand, I really set in locally, just, you know, trying to do my own thing and, you know, bring my knowledge or what I've been shopping around the world, you know, back to home base.
Very cool. Quick question. You just mentioned, you know, a lot of people that might not know the headquarters of American Top Teams in Coconut Creek.
Uh-huh.
And you're saying
yes,
Palm
sir.
Beach. If you have a, you know, a fighter, guy, girl, heavyweight, flyweight, no matter in between, 22, 30, if you have someone you're like, wow, this is he or she is next level. Do you ever think, or do you guys have that relationship? Do you send them to Coconut Creek and for them to, you know, maybe train more of those high end UFC, Bellator, PFL fighters day in day out?
There's a whole process to it. You know, you call the bosses. You say, hey, you know, I got a guy. You make introductions. There's typically like a tryout period, and they go from there.
Okay. Have you? So you're saying about American Top Team ninth in. Did you know, of course you couldn't know how big they're going to be today, but did you have a really cool feeling about the gym and the people there and kind of the core essence of American Top Team?
Man, it was really crazy because I've been such a fan of the sport since I was like a young teenager that it was already packed with celebrities when I joined, to me.
Right.
You
right.
know, when I finally got on the competition training team or the fight team, I walked in the room and I was like, oh my God, it's Jeff Munson. It's Dean Thomas. It's Wilson Gouveia. It's Hermes Franca. This room is crazy, you know?
Right.
So it was already huge for me. Success was, to be honest, inevitable. You know, just how it was structured, who was there, who was coaching, you know, it was just inevitable.
Wow, I love that. It was really cool. I had a really great podcast with Laura Senko, And the one thing we talked about, and we'll get into it, of course, the epic UFC 249. And, of course, we talked about that that Justin Gaethje, you know, that one guy now who's one of the biggest superstars in the sport. But we talked a lot about Trevor Whitman and coaching and how it's an underrated aspect of all of MMA. Brady and Belichick. You cannot mention Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback, greatest player in the NFL at the highest sport, without his coach, Bill Belichick. And I've been watching a lot of The Last Dance with Michael Jordan. You see nothing but Phil Jackson in almost every part of it. It's unbelievable that, you know, coaches, gyms, the training partners, we really think of it an individual sport. And of course it is. But I really think it's underrated part of the game right now, our coaches in all of MMA.
100%. It is an individual competition, but it's a team sport.
Damn, that's well said. I might take that line.
By all means, please do.
No, I love that, man. That's really well said. You know, so that's definitely the hottest topic in MMA right now is UFC 249. So many highlighted performances, but nothing better than Justin Gaethje. An unbelievable performance. One of the best I've seen inside that cage. Tony Ferguson, 8 years, 12 straight wins, all down the drain. Gaethje with a masterful performance.
For sure, man. Let's not say down the drain. You know, he still did amazing. He just got outclassed on the night.
Right, right, right.
You know, Justin Gaethje said it himself. He said it took the losses to tell him or to teach him or to show him that he had to make changes.
Right.
He himself said, you know, when he was undefeated, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It had to be proven broke. And Trevor Whitman is an unbelievable coach. You know, I think he has 10 world champions in varying combat sports. You know, like, he is not a joke. And I love what he preaches because he focuses on core basics, proper use and proper application of those basics. You know, function over form. Cut the flash, cut the flare. It can be in there, but it can't be your game. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I'm loving it, man. This is why I was so happy to have you on, Ben. You know, you can definitely talk about things that we can or maybe even understand. And I just love all aspects of the game, all the little – it's unbelievable. I've been in those rooms. I've been in so many gyms over the last especially 18 months. And when one of the coaches, you know, even a boxing coach, I love me some Billy Patton over there at ATT. You know, hey, put your left elbow, you know, maybe a centimeter down. And the guy's like, huh? No, just a centimeter. And he's doing. And then, like, he goes for a liver shot, and that centimeter, shuns it away, blocks it away just enough. And it's the fight game, you think about it, and the people who maybe don't understand it, or maybe the middle stream that doesn't get it yet, it's like, you know, maybe barbaric, or maybe it's really, you know, brawl. Everyone's seen a bar brawl. Guys, it's not that. It's especially now in 2020, the UFC, it's so high class. It's so technique-based. What Mitchell did to Rosa, some people, that was a 15-minute grappling match. It wasn't even a fight, really.
Man,
and I would love for
Rosa has unbelievably high-level jiu-jitsu.
Oh, yeah. Black belt.
Like, and that's not preferential speaking. It's not just because we're on the same team. Not because we have the same grading professor, but his jiu-jitsu is phenomenal. It's been phenomenal since I met him as a purple belt. You know, he's super good. It's like, I was stunned
by Mitchell's performance, right?
100%.
Right, and there's a couple things I want to hit on there. One is, I talked to TJ DeSantis, and he said this on one of his shows, and I was like, wow, he really did nail it. And I love giving people credit when they nail something. TJ was like, people were so high on Mitchell that night. And you know, he deserves every rocket fluid he's going to get in the next, you know, 36 days, right? But Rosa deserves a ton of credit. No one understands how many submission attempts he got out of, how close they were, how dangerous it was, and then how great Mitchell was on that night. Like they said, you know, Rosa, you know, I hate saying it, deserves the silver medal. He was right. Even in a loss, he looks, you know, beyond impressive.
He showed heart beyond, you know, compare. Like, he was in some terrible situations. Now, keep this in mind. This man had serious spinal surgery 7 months ago, right? And he fought out of how many twisters?
Four.
You know what I mean? Like, We're talking about, like, ruining I think he had a disc replacement. You know, like, these things aren't concrete, you know? And he's getting cranked on quite hard and still kept his head in the game, stayed technical, made the right moves, and got himself to safety. You know, most people would have just panicked, going, oh, my God, my neck is new. I can't. No. Like, his behavior, his game, his defense was perfect.
Yeah, it was incredible. It really was. And some nights it's a, you know, one man's night or a female night, and that night was definitely Bryce Mitchell. I'm not too sure if I can't wait to see him in the near future and see if he is that top three, top five, a championship guy, or was it just his night? There's so many times in this game that for whatever reason it's the other guy's night, and you just kind of tip your hat and move on. And I would love to, you know, see where they're both at in 12 to 15 months.
For sure.
Two more ATT guys that had, you know, both the same division, two heavyweights, had a really good UFC 249. You know, everyone I just talked to Ryan Quinn a couple days ago, and he just has the nicest things in the world to talk about. Olenek, 42 years young, still getting the job done, on his feet for most of the fight, boxing to win. It was so impressive. And then, of course, Greg Hardy, who's on the main card, really polarizing figure, fought a lot in the state of Florida on the way up. And now, you know, they highlight Greg Hardy for a reason. He's got nothing but big, big fights in front of him. So I'd love for you to talk about those two men.
So I've had the pleasure of training with Alexei on a handful of occasions. And it is a debilitating feeling having that man on top of you.
Right.
It is. Like, I've dealt with heavy pressure players. I've felt big dudes, you know, and I've never felt proud, like, pressure like that. Like, even almost untrying. Like, I'm not a small man. I fought as a light heavyweight and a middleweight. But I felt like when I teach my kids classes, except I was the kid.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Like, he would joke with me and play. Like, I like leg locks quite a bit. And he'd be like, go, please, please, take it. And, like, nah, man, I feel like you're tricking me. I don't want to do that. You know?
Right.
Oh, and, man, his side controls. Like, not even doing anything. It is like the physical interpretation of, like, a cigar getting put out.
It's wow. Just,
man, so like when I was watching Verdum like move, I was like, how? Like, granted, he's a larger man than I, but still, like, damn.
Yeah, yeah. It was incredible. He's just one of those guys that's kind of been overshadowed, a little bit overlooked for, you know, 3-5 years. He's just always around number eight. You know, he's always a top 10, top 12 guy. You know, just a really great performance. And I just loved how many eyes have been on UFC 249.
Man, it was big.
Yeah, exactly. It was the most bet on UFC in its history. A lot of mainstream people. And then, of course, me, like, I just, it's always the test if, you know, if your nephew or if your uncle says, oh, I watched it, and, you know, or tell me more about it because they know what I do. You know, so when they ask about it, I'm like, okay, the UFC hit it. The UFC nailed it. They want to know. And so that's kind of, let's talk about the man of the hour right now, Justin Gaethje. The losses only added tools for the toolbox. You know, he lost two in a row. Oh, you know, one was to the Diamond, Dustin Poirier, who's down there, who was a champion. And the other was to Eddie Alvarez, who's, you know, one of the toughest men in the world. And that was a hell of a fight.
Yeah, man.
But, dude, he's on, it just seems like he just did it a couple little calculated moves, a couple different things different. And it looks like they're going to try to do that, Habib and Justin. And, of course, everyone's on that other side right now. I just can never pick against Justin Gaethje again. Just what a performance.
Man. So, like, if we're talking about the El Kukui fight with Gaethje, masterful performance. Super accurate. Took what he does and implemented it in a way where Ferguson couldn't give anything back to him. You know, he looked spectacular. You know, everyone knows he's got a great left hook and a great low kick. But the way he was fading and coming back with the cross or the overhand, and hitting him long and kind of snaking over the limbs, and like, man, you've never seen Tony Ferguson, one, get hit like that, two, show damage, or three, get shook, get rocked, and finished. You know what I mean?
Right.
At least not in the last decade.
It's been up in the lightweight division too. Ben, you know this more than that next guy as well. Like, there's so many guys down there. It's been one of the toughest divisions in all of MMA for years and years. And I'm,
yeah,
you know, even old school when they first did it, when it was, you know, BJ Penn's and Sean Sherk's and all that. And just, I kept on evolving. And then for the last 5 years of this, Conor McGregor and Eddie Alvarez and RDAs and Pettis, and of course Khabib Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson's, and then they're so deep. It's, you know, we didn't even mention Justin Gaethje yet, and then like there's guys like,
yeah,
Diaz and Michael Johnson. There's so many. It's insane. And to win 12 straight in that division, it's
super impressive.
It's bananas. It really is bananas. And I think nothing less than Tony Ferguson. I don't know if you heard this yet, and I've kind of said this twice now. And I'll be short on it. I think I picked Justin Gaethje going into it, and I thought the number one reason, not a gut feeling on, I think Gaethje's going to beat him. I thought the roller coaster that Tony Ferguson has been on for 2 months mentally. Okay, I'm finally going to fight Khabib. This is it. This is the dream fight of the UFC. No, I'm not going to fight him. Actually, I might fight him. He might fly back from Russia. No, I'm not. Okay, we're going to move the date. We're going to fight Gaethje. Okay, we're going to fight Gaethje in California. No, that got canceled. I'm still going to make weight. We're going to fight him in Florida. I just think out of every fighter on that card, Tony Ferguson has been put through the dryer. And I just think mentally he was a little, just a tiny bit off or a tiny bit tired. Does that make any sense to you? Am I on something, or just it was just a great night and move on?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So Ferguson has never really shown him has never really shown himself to be a head case. And when you hear like Eddie Bravo talk about him, they talk about he is the strongest minded, strongest willed individual they've ever met, you know. But that being said, you know, if you've had an 8 week or 12 week training camp for the biggest fight of your career for the big time title, and then it's also been canceled 5 times, like, so it's hard. Like, I remember when I stopped fighting, I went 8 months after The Ultimate Fighter. I signed 8 contracts. I signed blank contracts, and I still couldn't get a fight. And so after those 8 months, like, I was like, all right, I'm going to go coaching. So you got to figure, like, I know how I felt in that moment, and compare that to not just a fight, but to the fight.
Right.
And it's one specific fight, and it keeps going bad. You know, and like, at a certain point, you get a little disheartened. It's never going to actually happen. Maybe he didn't give it 100% because it was canceled so many times. He's like, it's just going to get canceled again.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And then Corona hits. And then, like, if he didn't go, all right, man, it's off, he's lying to himself. Like, as soon as the guys were shutting down everything.
Right.
Again, holy crap. Again, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. This is what I was saying. This is just my, I'm a reason guy. I like to find out resolutions and reasons. And of course, it's a fist fight, and some guys are better than the other. And Gaethje, I'm not taking anything away from Gaethje. I just think there's something there. There's just something, it's all the time. I'm watching a lot of this.
If
last
nothing else.
Yeah.
You cut weight twice.
Right.
In a month.
Right. Oh.
And like, as a guy who's cut weight, you know, even a small cut of like 10 or 12 pounds, it still takes a while to, like, get the cobwebs out.
Right.
So if you're doing a big cut twice, because, like, Ferguson's not a small man. I can't imagine he cuts less than 15 pounds to make weight, probably more.
Yeah, I would assume more. In the low 20s, I would guess.
Right. And keep in mind, what's 20 pounds of 155?
Mm.
Yeah, that's quite a large percentage of your body mass.
Yeah, 12-15%.
Especially considering how much you are water.
Yep. Mm.
You know, that's definitely taxing. That definitely takes a toll, you know. But then again, Gaethje is like, an indestructible force, man. Like, he's coming after you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it. And up until, you know, Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier, there really was nothing you can do about it. Because it'd never been proven doable.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, dude, and there was definitely a time, and I don't know if you remember it, you know, literally blow by blow, there was a time in that Eddie Alvarez Gaethje fight that if the ref would have jumped in on, you know, Gaethje beating up Eddie, you're like, yeah, okay. You know, dude, he went through it enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you could easily be saying right now the man is, you know, 24-1 against Dustin, who's, you know, an interim champion his own damn self on the way. So there you go. That's another lightweight. I just mentioned 10 lightweights, and I didn't even mention Dustin the Diamond. So to win 12 straight by Tony is incredible. I hope, you know, as a fan of the sport and of just all the men and women who, you know, do this grind, right, I hope he takes 6 months off. You know, just really rest and, you know, charge back up physically, of course, and mentally. A huge fight is up for him next. I'm not one of those guys thinking he's down the charts of seven. It literally could be a Diaz, a Connor, a Habib, or a Gaethje. Like, that's probably it. The list should be super short. Literally take off the rest of the year or just give him that New Year's Eve fight. And, you know, hopefully he can take care of himself. If there's nothing else, there's actually a good question I think I got for you. If there's anything else you want to hit on UFC 249 or?
The biggest thing for me, because I'm a guy who subscribes to a similar, thought process to Trevor Whitman, and that focusing on the basics and, like, proper technique and application thereof. I hope that this drives home the importance of the basics and the core values of what people learn, and people stop focusing on, like, you know, tornado kicks and more flash than function in fighting, you know?
Right.
Come a little back to reality for the patrons.
It seems like it goes in ebb and flows, right? Like for 2 years, you had to be a wrestler. You had to wrestle people to win, and that's all you did. Then it was like boxing was hot, and then kickboxing, you know what I mean? So it goes in ebb and flows. And I think with this, I think a lot of limelight will go to Trevor Whitman, just because with no fans there, you heard a lot of what the people, what Trevor was saying, you know, take 10% off, Gaethje slower, more, you know, less, like, just, you know, calculated, you know, make sure you move your head off the line.
Huge props to Gaethje here. You saw him. Trevor Whitman called him out on his losses mid fight. And, like, that is, you know, I've cornered thousands of fights at this point.
Right.
Never in my life have I seen that. And not only that, Gaethje was unshook and responded. He corrected Whitman on how many losses he had because he got caught up in the moment. That is super impressive presence of thought on Gaethje's part.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. Here, Ben, let me pause this right here. Let me thank one of our sponsors, and I'll get right back to you. All right, my man?
Yeah, man.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.